Blog Talk Radio.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Be told you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straight in the curve, yeah, flat in the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Folks, just a good old boys, you know, never meaning no harm. You know how it goes there in the radio world. How you doing? It's showtime, ladies and gentlemen, and here we go. Check it out now.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me.
No, it's not. Holy crow. All right. Sorry, folks. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We got it squared away here. Oh, my goodness. Holy mackerel. Let's start that again. Welcome to the show. It's another episode of the Patriot Nation radio show, in the past also known as the Train Wreck radio show, just because of the simple technical difficulties that occur from time to time due to slight brain fartness and brain death. So it happens. Check it out.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
If you're there in the live feed, please share. We're going to have running for Hernando County Sheriff. Great patriot, great American, but a great story. Tragic in some instances, of course. But out of every tragedy, sometimes their good comes from it. And this, if this candidate wins, this will be the good that comes from tragedy. And we will do that right after this.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
There I am. I'm now live on the radio. Something's up with the internet. It's kind of freaky here today. But without further ado, I want to get my guest on. So please, if you're there in the live feed, let's get the guest in. I seen my friend James Scavetta was there on the line. We're going to bring him on here shortly. There's some kooky stuff happening right now with this internet here. I got to see what's shaking. Yep, I'm on the internet. I wonder if I turn that off and go to the other network. Let's try this. I'm going to switch that, turn on the Wi-Fi. There I go. See what happens. See if that helps the studio. The studio is kind of acting funny. And I seem to have a pretty decent Facebook live feed. So if you're in the live feed, please share and share alike. I'm now going to try to bring in my featured guest. See what happens. I am having all kinds of technical problems. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, our featured guest, James Terry. Made it.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Thank you so much. Now, we met recently at an event we had here in our local county, and I'd met you one time before that at a local event here in our area at a Target, and it was at that event when I said, this is my guy. So, folks, I'm going to say it right off the bat before the show starts. Patriot Nation Radio is myself. I don't know about my other friends because they're in other states, but I'm down here, and he gets my vote. And the vote is Tuesday, I believe, August 18th. So make sure if you're in the local area that you get out on that date and you mark your vote for Officer Major James Terry. Amen. Hallelujah. You get my endorsement, sir, and I'm voting for you proudly.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that, my friend.
All right, so here you are. You're living your life, and you decide to get into law enforcement. Tell us what led you into law enforcement in the first place. Before we get on to your campaign, I don't have other.
Yeah, you still there, Mark?
Yes, sir. Quiet here.
Yeah,
I'm in the studio.
It's something I definitely thought about when I was a little kid, but you know, it kind of went away from me. I got into auto mechanics, was auto mechanic for a little while, and then unfortunately, tragedy hit our family. My wife was attacked and nearly murdered, and it really tore the whole family up, and going through the trauma and the grief that went along with that, I knew right then that I needed to serve and protect and do something to help people that have to face things like that. And that's really what drove me to get into law enforcement. And, you know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but it always gave me a passion to catch the bad guys, passion to pursue justice, and empathy for people that I don't know you can have that degree of empathy if you haven't experienced similar things. So it's one of those things that wasn't necessarily my plan. I think it was God's plan. I had to go through some of those tough things to set me on the path, and all of it ultimately leads me here today.
Amen. And so you get into law enforcement. What was your like first assignment when you get out of the academy and now you're a police officer? Do you get in a squad car and become a patrol officer, or did you like have officer training right off the bat and get right into moving up the ladder quickly to finally become the sheriff of Hernando County?
Yeah, I started my career at Brooksville Police Department, which was really great. I started there, and what was great about Brooksville is it was a small agency. You really didn't have a lot of different specialty units within the police department. So you really had to learn how to do everything. And because you had such a small staff, you know, you learn how to handle yourself when you knew you maybe only had one other officer working with you. So you had to learn how to handle yourself pretty quickly. And you had to learn how to work whatever case came before you. You couldn't just pass it over to a specialty unit. So this is a great place to get a start. And, you know, I went there, and, of course, like anybody else, you go through field training and had a real good training officer showing me the ropes and a lot of good mentors over there that helped me along. And I spent almost 3 years with Brooksville, and then decided to go over to the sheriff's office because I had interest in doing a lot of different things and investigations and so forth. So Brooksville was really phase one, and then I moved over to the sheriff's office, Hernando County Sheriff's Office, in 1997.
And what were all the titles that you've held, and how long is your law enforcement career?
Law enforcement career is 22 and a half years. I was police officer with Brooksville. I came over and was started out as a deputy under Sheriff Tom Smylander, who was fantastic sheriff, and was a deputy for a little while, then became a field training officer, training other deputies. And then within the first 2 years, I became a detective and went to Vice and Narcotics for several years and was an undercover detective there, working a lot of large-scale cases, wiretap investigations. I kind of became the large case investigator in Vice and was promoted out of Vice and Narcotics to sergeant, worked sergeant on road patrol for a while, got transferred back as sergeant of Vice and Narcotics, then got promoted to lieutenant, was lieutenant in District 3, which was the east side. Then I was transferred as lieutenant of Major Crimes Unit, which is robbery homicide. Then lieutenant of District 2, which is Spring Hill. And then my next promotion was captain over Criminal Investigations Division. And then major of operations, which was the seat I held for 3.5 years before I left. So really had an opportunity to touch just about every part of the agency and learn the nuts and bolts and what it takes to get things done, and had so many great opportunities to learn and really have an understanding of the full breadth of the agency.
Right on. And so now here you are. What made you actually decide, okay, that's it, I'm going to run for sheriff?
Well, I can tell you what really pushed me over the edge. And I'll try not to get too much detail into the person, but there was a gentleman I worked with for many years that I considered a friend who was struggling and struggling with PTSD, and he needed some help, and I started to try to get that help. And, you know, unfortunately, during the same time frame, I kind of knew that I could no longer work there. I wasn't really getting along with the sheriff, so I decided that I needed to leave. And then after I left, the gentleman I'm speaking of, no longer got that help. Nobody really seemed to put their arm around him and help him. And unfortunately, things went really, really bad for this gentleman. And it kind of just told me right then, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to make sure that we take care of people like that. And I knew I had to go back and make a change. And I knew that so many things needed to be done to get the agency back the way it used to be. When I started there under Mylander and Nugent, so much growth, so much potential, so much professionalism, but still a family atmosphere. And I just knew it wasn't that anymore. And I wanted to bring it back.
Amen. Integrity. With all the attacks on the police these days, we seem to be in a really good county with a lot of good support for the police. What do you say to these police that are constantly under attack now? Like, defund the police. I mean, it's crazy. Smart people know you cannot defund the police.
Yeah, I mean, all I can say to them is lean on your family, lean on your friends, and you know, don't be afraid. One of the problems in law enforcement, just like in the military, everybody thinks you always have to put on that tough face all the time. And I don't know how they can be in those areas where they're talking about defunding them and they're getting attacked with no cause. It's got to be causing tremendous stress in their lives. And I just hope that they'll, you know, reach out for help. We need them healthy. We need them mentally strong, physically strong. We need our police, law enforcement, deputies. We need all of them. So I just ask them to hang in there and understand that, you know, unfortunately they're in a terrible cycle right now, but nationally the greater American public loves their law enforcement, as they should, because they do a wonderful job.
Yes, indeed. And I definitely, now I can't say when I was a younger person, I wasn't in trouble. I was, you know, I'm not afraid to admit that. And I've learned from my mistakes and I've grown up, and here I am defending my country and speaking out for what's right. And folks, what's right is not defunding the police. I would agree with maybe some different kind of techniques for getting folks to comply, like maybe like Sean Hannity speaks, like breaking their finger off, you know. You know, there's other ways, maybe some more extensive training, maybe divert a little bit of cash that way, and maybe train not to, you know, do the kill shot in the chest or something. That maybe some training, but defunding, that is crazy, folks. These guys, you see what they're up against. You want to take away their way to, you know, protect themselves. What's next? Is it going to let them have billy clubs? They're going to be like bobbies over in England? Is that, do you think that's where they're trying to go with all this, maybe, James?
You know, that's what they talk about, but I think they know it's not really a reality. I think a lot of it's just politically motivated. There's really no way to defund the police. I hope that they realize that really is a foolish idea and would never work. I definitely would agree with you on the training, though. You look at so many of the things that have gone wrong. If proper technique was utilized in the beginning that people were trained for, you know, maybe you don't lose control and things don't go wrong. Some of the training that officers and deputies get, it really is, when you're talking about actually having to get into a scuffle and a fight and actually be able to keep a hold of somebody, the training is very minimal. And most law enforcement, and I did this for years with a lot of my friends, they get together and they seek their own training. They find somebody who's really good. You know, some of your base things that work really well are wrestling is really good to be able to maintain control of people. You know, go to wrestling coach, worked a lot with people in jujitsu, which is really good to, you know, it worked very well to be able to hold on to people and joint manipulations, things like that. And unfortunately, the state guidelines don't teach you that. They don't teach you that at the academy. There's not a lot of it in agency. So those are things we need to be able to start putting those tools in the hands of our deputies to help them out.
Amen. You know, of course, the safety of our law enforcement officials is highly important as well, because they have families to go to. I don't know if you ever heard my friend, his name's Dave Bray, he put out a song called Last Call, and it has to do with, I'm sure you know, The Last Call. It has to do with the last call for an officer who's lost his life in the line of duty. The song is extremely touching. The video is unbelievable, and you could find that at www.davebrayusa.com. If you really want to hear that, you could look it up on YouTube. The name of that song is Dave Bray, Last Call. And you will not believe the absolute honor he did for the folks who have lost their lives in the line of duty. And God bless all of them. I'm sure you've seen today, I think it was the video was going around today, was the officer getting hit in the head with a bat. Unbelievable. Because I think that it's come to a point where in some of these cities, the people are so confident that the jail time will be so minimal for their crimes because they're on the side of the leftists and the Marxists, that they would do something like that. Could you imagine just 6 months ago someone taking a bat to a police officer?
No, I, you know, I don't really know what's going on right now, and I can't speak to what's in their heads. I know that it's not something that can be allowed to happen. You know, obviously, a lot of this started up over George Floyd incident, and I've publicly said that was terrible. and there was no cause for that, and the officers were completely out of line. And really, everybody has said the same thing. I don't think I've heard anybody defending that action, but that's not a representation of law enforcement as a whole. You know, that was one group of nut job people who betrayed the badge. But that doesn't mean it's open season on cops. I mean, it can't be allowed. You know, protest. People ask me all the time, are you going to protect the Second Amendment? I tell them, absolutely, of course I am. But I also am going to protect the first. So, you know, I don't have a problem with protests, peaceful protests. But you can't violate the law. You can't start looting. You can't start putting your hands on people. You can't hit cops. That can't be tolerated. And it never will be if I have anything to do with it. I can tell you that. Peaceful? Amen. No problem.
Yes, it is. I'm showing right now, James, 3 pocket constitutions. Now, if you go to rallies and places, you get these. You can buy these, you can get them online. But in this document right here, it secures your right, your God-given right, to stand up for your God-given rights. As long as you're not, like James said, burning, looting, attacking. Yes, I've been to many a rally and stood on the corner with a sign and a flag. You know what I mean? We have a gentleman, he's in the live feed right now. He does it here in Spring Hill every Friday. You know, he finds a spot, and they're expanding out to Pasco and other counties where they're supporting peaceful causes by waving flags and holding signs and waving to people. And I love peaceful protest. I think it's a great thing. You know, but when you bring out the pitchforks and you start attacking people, you know, that's just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a conversation if you're in the middle of a fight, you know.
Right.
And that's what needs to happen. We need to have conversations. And sometimes those peaceful protests, they get people talking, they get people thinking. And I think that's really been the purpose of them throughout history, you know. But when it comes to, you know, eliciting violence into it, nobody's listening anymore. You know, the message is lost, whatever that message may have been throughout history. Once you start bringing violence into it, that message is lost. And all that's being looked at that point is the violence. And that's not the society that we live in. I mean, we can't have that.
Well, you know, if you want the life of, you know, to live life and pursue happiness and have liberty, you need law and order to some degree. You got to have it. And you know, when you see things like what James Mueller and the FBI did to President Trump, using the department as a weapon, it really is a horrible thing to see. And I hope they do bring those fellas to justice for doing what they did. It's just unreal. But anyhow, that's a whole nother show to talk about that.
Mark,
go ahead.
You just made me think.
Go ahead, sir.
I think one of the important things is, it's all about balance. I mean, you do have to have law and order, but that doesn't mean that you have to go make it big issues out of every tiny little thing as well. I mean, obviously you have to have safety, but you know, a lot of times it's really about education. There's so many facets of it. And law enforcement, you know, I call it a 360-degree job. I mean, you can go from zero to 360 in 1 second. And knowing when to be at zero, when to be at 360, you know, that's the key. And I think that's one of the things I bring is the experience to know where to land in that realm, because it's very broad and there's a whole lot to it. And, you got to have law and order, but you also got to have peace. And you know, I don't believe in a law enforcement that, you know, suppresses people and harasses people either.
Right. You know, now earlier in the show, you had told us, you know, about the tragedy that led you to become a sheriff. Do you think that instance also helps you in tight situations, you know, knowing what you went through as the husband of a victim who survived a horrible tragedy? Does that help you defuse situations in different ways just because of the empathy you felt at that time for your loved one?
You know, I would say where it's probably helped me the most is in diffusing situations is, you know, I've had many families who maybe haven't liked the outcome of a case or like the speed of a case. And when you sit down and talk to them and they look into your eyes and can feel your heart and they know that you care about them. And then when you're telling them you are and will continue to do everything you can, I think that diffuses those situations to the degree that they walk away with a measure of comfort that they know that they're cared for and they know that you're going to do everything humanly possible within the bounds of law to bring justice to them.
Amen. Amen. So if someone wanted to help out, do you accept volunteers, people to go and, you know, bring road signs, lawn signs and things around you? If people want to help volunteer or donate, how can people do that?
They can go to Gary2020Sheriff.com. That's our website. You can donate there. It's got our email address on there. They can obviously email us, and we're constantly on Facebook, very active on there, so they can send us instant messages. And what we've been doing with the yard signs is we have when people have an interest, we send them, have them sign up to this volunteer form we have set up on Google Sheets. And then they can also kind of tell us other things they may be interested in doing. And then we go ahead and deliver them a yard sign. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's amazing. I was telling somebody the other day, I couldn't even count the hundreds and hundreds of volunteer hours that people have given to my campaign and to our movement. And the great part about it is nobody wants anything but positive change. Nobody's asking for jobs. Nobody's asking for favors. They just want to make this county better. And I'll tell you, I'm blessed by every one of them. And I have some amazing, amazing people helping me out. And we definitely will take as many more of those great folks as we can get.
Hey, look, check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a friend of ours just joined in. He called in. I believe I recognize the number. Mr. James Scavetta is on the line. Welcome to the show, James.
Hey, Mark. Hey, James. How's it going?
Hey, great, James. How are you, buddy?
All right. You're sounding good. Yeah, I like what you had to say. That, you know, that's why I jumped on board right away. And you know, it comes down to this, to the audience out there. Do people need to know, Mark, do they want a political appointee, a death sergeant who's been their sheriff for the past 8 years, or they want a homegrown boy who's rose up through the ranks, been experienced, had just about every of the department, you know, ran every department there, and really experience matters? We are so desperately in need of a real cop. I keep saying that because the majority of people in this county do not know or believe that for 8 years their so-called sheriff has been a desk jockey and really is just a political appointee. So I ask everyone out there who's voted for me in 2014, the few thousand of you, to please vote for James Terry on August 18th, and also a quick plug for Joe Swilly, county commissioner, and for Steve Champion to get reelected, because together we will have a team that this county hasn't had probably in 30 years. So, again, it will be a great team for the people, and I really urge everyone, again, who voted for me, to vote for James. And we've got some remarkable ideas and programs out there. He's going to have the guardianship program, the armed private security in the schools to back up the SROs, what our sheriff refuses to do. He's going to put firearm safety training for kids in the lower grades. It's called the Eddie Eagle program. And I can go on for the whole hour to show, but I won't do that. But there are so many great ideas that James has. We really need a real sheriff.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's
and,
a heck of an endorsement, James.
What?
Mark, there's one
That's
of those great volunteers I was talking about right there. James Cavetta has been another one of those people that God brought into my life that's been a blessing for me, that just worked so hard, never asked for a thing, and one of many. So thank you, James. I appreciate that, buddy.
Yes, yeah,
wait,
you
asked,
got it, because like I said, we really, all of us are working hard. It's an uphill battle because this sheriff is so politically connected into that deep, it's a deep, a local deep state, and people have no idea how connected it is, and it's really time it needs to be broken up, and we're going to do everything we can between now and August 18th. And if anybody needs yard signs, I have them. You can contact
That's
me, James Cavetta, on Facebook, 352-556-1475, and we'll get you a sign, or you can come over to my house and get it. And if you got any questions why I'm supporting James, feel free to call me. And I'll leave you guys with Mark. You know this was my saying in 2014. It's time we stop electing politicians and start electing patriots, because James is pro Second Amendment, and he will not issue these orders to come and confiscate your guns, which is unconstitutional, or you know, such as wearing face masks. If he's going to be a people's sheriff. All right, so you guys have a good rest of the night, and James, we're going to be fighting until that last night at 7 o'clock when those polls close. And Mark, as usual, you're a great patriot, good friend, a good neighbor, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. I'll turn it back over to you guys so James can continue.
I'm like
Thank
a good
James.
Neighbor. I must be State Farm.
Yeah,
James.
Mark, James just made me think of something that I think is really important. Is, you know, he mentioned the political connections and, you know, the uphill battle, and you know, that's absolutely true. But I will tell you, I learned early on, you know, I've been blessed. I've had the last couple of years a great mentor, and our former 16-year sheriff, Thomas Mylander, has been helping me along the way. And one of the very first things he told me, he said, do not worry about those cliques of executive committee that, or this, you know, group of whatever it may be, you know, the small groups that have all these connections, and I'll scratch my back, you scratch yours kind of thing. He told me from day one, don't even bother with that. Go to the people. Go right to the people. That's what matters, the people. And that's what I've done the last 2 years. And that advice is going to lead us to victory, because that's exactly what I've done.
Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate it. Folks, you want to make sure you link up with James Terry. If he's the guy for you and you're in our area, you're in Hernando County, vote James Terry for Hernando County Sheriff. I myself here at Patriot Nation Radio endorse his candidacy. Patriot Nation Radio Florida gives full endorsement to James Terry just simply because of the experience. Like James said, we need an experienced law enforcement officer who's been actually on the beat investigating crimes, rubbing elbows with the people, and being out there for over 2 decades. It's important. I want to thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show. And I want to say one thing, as James is still listening there. And please stick around. I got something important that is happening here in Hernando County. Suddenly, we're going to talk about that here in a second. Be sure to, of course, tune in all the time. I was going to say something, I forgot, but the gentleman that's going to come on here in a second got a phone call, and it's from a local nursing facility here in Hernando County. And they informed him that, that's it. You can't come over here. You can't even look in the window. Because as of now, we are accepting COVID patients here in the nursing home. This nursing home is in Brooksville. He was perplexed and reached out to me. And we're going to bring him on now. He wishes to remain anonymous, so we're not going to give his name. Because it's really, this is some interesting information. He's made some calls. He's talked to some people. This is confirmed and definitely occurring at an old folks' home here in Hernando County. Sir, I'll call you Bill. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here.
All right, folks, this is Bill. He wishes that's not his name. We're using a different name to protect him because he wishes to remain anonymous because this is some serious stuff. All right, so you're sitting at home and the phone rings. What is this call and what are they saying?
Well, we get an update every week from the nursing facilities in Hernando County that there's no COVID patients positive, there's no caretakers positive. If there is, I believe in the past month, there was one or two caretakers that were taken care of. Furloughed, however you want to put it. But yesterday's call was, we're going to bring in infected COVID-19 patients into our non-infected facility. I'm not happy with that at all.
Right. So what exactly did they say when they called you? How did the call go? Say, hey, how you doing? Hello, this is Bill. What's up?
That's it. And I said, are you kidding me? But I've been told, after multiple calls, you know, I would love to see my mom. Are we allowed to do this? Are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to stand outside of the windows and wave? Nope. Lines are closed. We can't do that. And then I get this call. That is my worry and my confusion. And that's where I'm at.
So now, I had passed by your home on the way home from work, and you were talking to a young lady on the phone who stated that she's in Hernando County herself and tests people all day long, every day for COVID-19. And what exactly did she say? How many positive people has she tested?
I'm not sure
I heard
about
it.
That was actually a nurse, yes, that –
I heard what she said.
Things possibly aren't accurate. Yes, that things possibly aren't accurate.
She tested every day, all day long since it started, and she's got no positive results. That's what she said.
Actually, to be accurate, there was a there was people in waiting rooms that signed in and ended up leaving and got a letter in the mail that they were positive, and they never even had a test.
I saw that story. That story
was
pretty crazy.
You're correct.
So folks
again,
in the healthcare.
Back to, I can't stand in front of my mother's window and wave to her through glass, through a block wall.
Right.
But they're going to bring in infected COVID patients from other counties into our county, into our elderly and veteran community. I've got a huge problem with that.
And our friend here on the line is a veteran. Thank you, sir, for your... You know, so this is occurring, James, in Brooksville. On the line with us, Bill, is for Hernando County Sheriff James Terry. Do you believe that's actually happening? Sometimes I wonder if the guardianship program is tied to this closing the doors, and then they're in there making people sign stuff over. You know what I mean? Do you believe that, James?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty scary. Obviously, you know, we got to make places available and resources available to help everybody who gets infected and provide medical care, but to bring them into a senior facility, it seems very illogical and dangerous, and I don't get it.
And that's in Brooksville, sir. Now, I spoke to a couple of folks here that are...
Let me get a little further. I made a few calls, and the Department of Health, et cetera, it's delayed, it's referred, it's you can't get through to anybody.
And I'll tell you... And
there's
everybody
no
I spoke to?
My mother's Humana representative had no clue.
Right.
She's a regional manager. She's a great, great person. She touches base every quarter. She didn't have any idea.
Right, and that's what I'm running into too. When I was talking to certain people, they're like, "What? I didn't hear that. I don't know that. Nobody knows." They're doing this like undercover.
Right.
They're sneaking people in,
right.
And they're trying to get away.
Right.
So we're blowing whistles right now.
Correct.
Because this can't go on, man.
We should be doing everything we can right now to protect our seniors.
And they're allowing COVID patients into this facility. And
this is a great town. It's a great county. And, you know, I mean, I'm a business owner. I'm a veteran. I love this county. I love my state. I love my country. And here's where I'm at. I'm very confused. My mother is where it's at. And, you know, I'm going to do what I can to protect things.
Right on. Amen. That's what you do. One, as a citizen of this great nation, a patriot and a veteran, of course, that's what you would do. I would think I would do that, and I'm none of those amazing things. I'm just a dude who goes to work every day. I'm not a veteran.
We've got to use our resources the best we can and come together and figure something out. I mean, honestly.
Amen. That's kind of ridiculous. So, folks, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're in our area, think about this. They're bringing COVID patients into the adult care facilities.
Yeah.
Note this.
The people we're supposed to be protecting. Right.
Yep. And remember, some of these folks are Korean and World War II veterans that are in these facilities. Some that are wounded, that are in these facilities, they need extra care, and they're in these care facilities, and they're being exposed. Governor Cuomo up in New York is responsible for like 6,000 deaths of the elderly by doing this program. This very thing. And here we are. We're going to do this in Hernando County. It behooves me. And so we need to get the word out, folks. One way or the other, we need to get this word out and say, look, not in our county. We can't have this in the county. Now, make sure if you're going to do any kind of sign holding and flag waving, it's peaceful. And we clean up our mess when we leave. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime I went to a rally or a protest and stood up for something, when we left, the place was cleaner than when we got there. That's the way it should be. Bring the trash bags, folks, and clean up the mess. This has been a public service announcement from the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Sorry, guys. I like to laugh sometimes, you know. I know this is a serious topic, and we got to get to the bottom of it. I want to thank you, Bill, for calling in. I want to thank you, James. Again, James, let folks know one more time how they can contact with you and connect with you if they want to volunteer, if they want to donate, or if they just want to get info. How can they do that? One more time, sir.
They can look us up on Facebook, James Terry, and we've also got a campaign page on Facebook, James Terry for Sheriff, and our website is terry2020sheriff.com, and all of those are linked together, so any of those, there's emails attached to them. There's instant messaging on Facebook. My phone number's on there. So there's many different ways to get a hold of us, and we would love to have more people on board. And, you know, we can take donations via check, or we have PayPal set up through the website at terry2020sheriff.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, sir, for coming on. And, again, Bill, keep in touch. We'll keep talking. I've talked with some folks, and they ran it all the way up to the state level. We'll see what happens. We'll keep fighting, and we'll
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Terry, for being online with me. More people that hear this, the better. I appreciate it.
Yes,
amen.
Sir, thank you.
God bless, guys, and thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. There you have it, folks. That's an amazing thing we have right there. Major James Terry, the sheriff, and of course our guest Bill, whose mom is in a facility, and they are bringing in COVID patients and keeping out family members, because the family members are so evil and so infected they can't sit at their bedside, but the COVID patient could be in the wing down the hall, you know, infecting
Mark,
the staff.
Say one thing before I go, buddy?
Yes, sir.
You know, I just want to say
yes,
it's been a really busy week, and we're going to keep going tomorrow. And
I've been doing a lot of different little speeches, and, you know, typically the forums and the COVID thing has gotten in the way quite a bit. You know, we've been doing 3 to 5 minute speeches, and, you know, people put them out, and a lot of them have been on Zoom and things like that. But, you know, anybody out there listening, we need to find a way, because these elections are important, and we need to find a way. Let's have a real debate. Let's put the two of us in a room, and let's stretch these issues out, and let's talk about it. You know, I'm very passionate about body cameras, sheriff's
right.
Anti-body cameras. You know what? Let's stretch that
I
issue out.
I believe in body cameras.
What's that?
Well, first, what I don't understand is why would anybody be against body cameras in this day and age when
what?
Everything you do is scrutinized? Everybody's got
exactly
a camera themselves.
Exactly.
So
nothing to hide. I got them on my house.
Yep. That's why I say let's get a debate. Let's stretch that issue out and let's find out.
Amen. Sure. Hallelujah.
I'm ready for it. Like I said, my phone number's on there. Call me. I'm in.
Cool.
Amen. The challenge has been made. Sometimes the good sheriff tunes in. I didn't see him in the live feed tonight, but if he does, if he watches the replay, there you go, Sheriff. Sit down and hash it out with James Sheriff, James Terry, candidate for Hernando County Sheriff. Thanks again, James. Folks,
awesome.
You want to look him up, that's terry2020sheriff.com. You can link up there or go to James Terry on Facebook, and they have a Facebook page, a group page there. You can find it. I'm sure if you go to James Terry's page, you'll find his link to his candidate page. And I want to thank you again, Bill, for coming on, and we will keep talking about this issue that you're having with this adult home care facility and the COVID-19 patients being put in there. It's ridiculous. Now, you
I
guys might want
to we need
out.
To stay focused on it, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. Now, of course.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for
now,
having
I got
me.
This great song. Bill, you want to stick around? If I don't know, James, if you want to stick around, I'm going to play this great song. This is from my friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. He comes on the show regularly. I don't see it on you. Where the hell did it go? Oh, there's Freedom Rings. All right, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag. We kneel at the cross. We are blessed to be in this nation. God blesses me. God blesses us all. He blesses this great nation. This is the Star Spangled Banner, performed by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition is out. Get your copy. Check it out. Please rise. So, All right, folks, that's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Check it out next Thursday right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Chris Ann Hall, constitutional lawyer and expert, joins us. Recently we had Anthony Sabatini on, and she is the counterpart in some of these lawsuits, especially the one here in Hillsborough County, fighting the face mask mandates. And that'll be next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I want to thank each and every one of you for calling in this evening. It's been an amazing show, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in, because without you, there is no show. You are the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and you are the Patriot Nation. And if you want to hear the playback, go to blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. You can hear it there, or you can watch this blurry live feed that I have going. Internet here is crazy. I'm working on it. We only have like one provider, and then the other provider stinks. So that's the problem here with the internet. But what are you going to do? I tried boosters. I tried everything. So that's next Thursday, 8 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Chris Ann Hall joins us live. With that, folks, I want to say good night. God bless you. God bless America. I'll talk to you soon. Peace out.